From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, November 21st. I'm Abby Larico. Regenerative agriculture practices are a good long-term investment for most farmers, but the upfront costs can make it difficult to get started.
The first couple of years, it's costing the farmer money to do that practice, which is where these incentive payments come in to help them get through that period.
We'll learn about a University of Missouri program helping farmers clear that hurdle, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Boeing announced Wednesday that it will lay off 692 employees from its Missouri locations. The company called the move a difficult decision. It's part of a 10% workforce reduction the company announced in October after a strike halted production of some of its best-selling airplanes. Boeing employs about 170,000 employees nationwide and 17,000 at three facilities locally. The layoffs will take effect on January 17th, and the affected workers will receive severance and subsidized health care after that date. The St. Louis County Justice Center has seen far fewer in-custody deaths than the City Justice Center since 2020. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimbley has been looking into this and has more now on the jail deaths and response from officials.
Compared to the 18 people who have died at the St. Louis City Justice Center since 2020, only 5 people have died while in custody at the St. Louis County Jail in that time frame. Despite the huge gap in jail deaths, the County Medical Examiner's Office says that number doesn't include at least 30 other fatalities that occurred in county police holding cells as well as police-involved deaths. The St. Louis County Jail holds about 30% more inmates than the CJC on any given day. The CJC so far this year has seen the lowest number of deaths since 2021. City public safety officials say their reporting of jail deaths earlier this year excluded one person because that individual was arrested but not considered a detainee at the city jail. I'm Lucretia Wimbley, St. Louis Public Radio.
A former East St. Louis city manager who's been charged with 2 felonies has turned himself in to law enforcement. State police and the St. Clair County State's Attorney's Office charged 60-year-old Carlos Mayfield with a count of theft of government property and another count of fraudulent use of a credit or debit card. The charge covers thefts between $500 and $10,000. Investigators didn't give an exact amount, but said he took city money for personal use. Law enforcement issued the arrest warrant in early October. Contrary to a press release state police issued Wednesday afternoon stating he was still wanted, Mayfield surrendered last Friday and was released the same day. ISP later updated its statement. Mayfield served as the city manager in the previous mayoral administration starting in 2021. One of the St. Louis City SC's supporters groups is in a legal trademark battle, and they've decided they can't win. St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan All reports.
The St. Louligans have been supporting soccer in the area and raising money for charities for almost 15 years. But a beverage company has applied for a trademark to use Louligans. The volunteer supporters group doesn't have the money to fight the application, even though they think they would win. Board member Sarah Robertson says it's been a big letdown, especially since the St. Louligans had a street named after them last year.
Finally getting some recognition for the community that we serve, you know, getting a little bit of uplift from that and then going to this is just, it's heartbreaking.
The St. Louligans have trademarked their logo, but are concerned an unaffiliated beverage would confuse fans into thinking it was helping the supporters group. I'm Jonathan All, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis Water Division has lifted a precautionary boil order impacting a half dozen St. Louis neighborhoods. People in Jeff Vanderloo, Carr Square, St. Louis Place, Benton Park, Marine Villa, and Soulard were under the advisory out of an abundance of caution because of a broken water main causing low water pressure. The division announced last night that testing has determined the water is safe. There's yet another push to pass compensation for people who got sick after living near radioactive waste. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports on the latest proposal from Missouri U.S. Senator Josh Hawley.
There have been multiple efforts to pass federal legislation called the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act. Despite 2 bills passing the Senate, Congress allowed the original funding to expire in June. Now Hawley is introducing a compromise that would be significantly less expensive than earlier proposals.
We've heard over and over and over from the House and the Speaker that it needed to score more cheaply.
This new compromise bill has a $5 billion mandatory spending cap. Above that, the funds become discretionary, meaning Congress would have to pass it each year. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis officials are planning to fund additional shelter beds for people experiencing homelessness this winter. The city will use federal relief money to add 160 beds to the existing 800. Adam Pearson is director of the city's Department of Human Services. He says he's working on regional solutions to the housing shortage, but in the meantime, he wants to support people on the coldest nights of the year.
I think a great goal for us would be to be able, in partnership with a lot of these other organizations, to have a bed for people who need it.
Several shelters in the city are operating above capacity, and in October, more than 400 people were turned away because there were not enough beds. Extreme weather events are happening more often. Just this month, St. Louis saw a day of record-breaking rainfall. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports on a new insurance pilot that aims to help cities in the Mississippi River Basin dealing with more frequent flooding, rainfall, and drought.
It's called parametric insurance, and it's a policy that immediately pays out when a specific weather parameter is hit, like a flood of a certain height or inches of rain over a 24-hour span. The Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative is working with the insurance company Munich Re on a parametric product that could pool the risk that cities in the entire river basin face. Raghavir Vinakolu is head of climate insights and advisory for Munich Re US.
Not every city is going to flood every year, but the flooding will impact at least one section of the river.
Vinakolu says pooling this risk could mean a more timely insurance payout when a city experiences an extreme weather event. He says the product is still very early in development. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
Local arts groups are calling for more investment in arts education. A 2021 report from the National Endowment for the Arts found that access to arts education has dropped. Phyllis Paisley is the executive director of the Missouri Alliance for Arts Education. She says even though funding comes from local and federal sources, oftentimes art programs in schools are on the chopping block.
And if there's only so many dollars to go around and you have to choose, is everybody getting a lunch or is everybody going to get their transportation services covered, they're going to make difficult decisions. And sometimes the arts is one of the places that are looked toward.
Paisley made her comments on St. Louis on the Air. Regenerative agriculture, which prioritizes soil health and environmentally sound practices, isn't the norm. Jana Rose Schleiss reports that's largely because of the cost.
On a rainy Sunday afternoon at Big River Grain and Cattle in Cedar Hill, Missouri, a rural enclave outside St. Louis, farmer Daniel Boniker releases his cows onto a 30-foot strip of fresh milo, a stalky plant that resembles corn, but in place of a cob at the top, there's a cluster of grain. This is Boniker's second year growing milo, and at first, the bovines didn't know what to make of the atypical forage.
As you see now, they're getting with the program. The cows and calves both are eating the grain heads.
Boniker is using milo as a cover crop, a plant that's job is to keep living roots in the soil to retain nutrients. Utilizing cover crops and letting cows graze them and fertilize the field as they go is a facet of regenerative agriculture, a movement that aims to reduce farming's environmental impact, revive the soil, and by extension, the small farm economy.
You know, I need to feed my cattle in the winter, and it's very cost effective compared to feeding hay. And all the nutrients stay right in the field here.
Boniker has been working to implement regenerative farming practices on his land for 10 years. It takes time because it also takes money. To cultivate cover crops on his 1,400 acres, it costs $56,000 each year. Installing fencing and water infrastructure to accommodate grazing cattle cost him over $12,000. There are a variety of long-term benefits to adopting sustainable farming practices, but the upfront cost is a barrier for farmers. Sonia Hu works on sustainable food system initiatives at the Boston Consulting Group. She surveyed nearly 100 row crop farmers in Kansas and found many feel current policies favor conventional farming, which makes a switch to regenerative methods risky to their livelihood.
it just is too challenging to make an adoption or to change your practices, even though there might be benefits in the long term because the costs are too daunting in the near term.
Healthy soil reduces farmers' dependence on costly and environmentally damaging inputs, such as herbicides, pesticides, and chemical fertilizers. But adopting regenerative practices and weaning off those inputs can take 3 to 5 years.
When we look at the near term, it's not necessarily a profitable endeavor for farmers to adopt these practices.
WHO's research shows that initially, farmers could see profits plunge 30 to 60%. But in the long term, WHO says, regenerative farmers could receive a 15 to 25% return on investment because sustainable practices make farmland more resilient to severe weather caused by climate change. In Missouri, the MU Center for Regenerative Agriculture, through a $25 million Federal Department of Agriculture grant, aims to help farmers get over the initial investment barrier. Rob Myers is the director of the center that provides payments to farmers who implement regenerative methods like cover crops, rotational grazing, agroforestry, and more.
The first couple of years, it's costing the farmer money to do that practice, which is where these incentive payments come in to help them get through that period.
Myers says it usually takes 3 years of using cover crops for farmers to break even, and subsequent years achieve a net profit.
By then, you don't need to keep up with the incentive payment. The farmer should be sticking with it because of its own financial benefits.
That was the case for Daniel Boniker. After years of utilizing cover crops, he's now using 25% less fertilizer, saving him $30 an acre or $42,000 per year. So he plans to keep spending money on regenerative farming methods and hopes to see an even greater return in the future. In Cedar Hill, Missouri, I'm Jana Rose Schleiss.
That story comes to us from member station KBIA in Columbia. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.